This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And good morning, Fast Eddie. How are you today?
I am doing good.
Are you fast?
No, only mediocrely fast.
Okay, I won't use the colloquial term most associated with that.
No, we'll have Jim and Tommy in here in a New York minute pulling the plug on us.
That's right. Again. Anyway, we have Mr. Moreno Aguiari again.
Yes, he decided that
Thank you for staying.
Yes.
Sure, no problem. That must be your Italian heritage that... You know, that allows you,
that?
Yeah, you can say it right.
Well, I don't know. I'm just nuts, I guess.
That helps, too.
I'm only half Italian, you know, the right half. The left
the right.
half's a mess.
Left.
You know, you were talking about the briefing yesterday.
Yep.
What were the subjects that you were covering at the briefing?
Well, very much operational matters. You know, we had different airports. We're going to depart from the Northeast. Right now, we have Oxford, Connecticut as a departure point, although we are talking to signature, I can probably say it, signature flight support. There are many companies that really stepped forward and they want to help. Signature flight support is one of them, and so we are perhaps discussing an alternate departure point. We discuss the route, what we need, and what the master plan for the event is. So we share with the crews essentially what's provided in terms of accommodations and fuel and things like that. And then we went down to nuts and bolts, analyzing every single...
And just to clarify what we're talking about, since this is a different segment, it's the reenactment of the D-Day flights that brought the paratroopers
Correct.
To Normandy.
Correct, yes. Yep.
You're flying the same route in the same airplanes in a different century. The navigational challenges, I mean, if these guys, I'm hoping everybody's bringing a GPS of some sort.
Yes. We and there are a couple of companies, I can't mention the name yet, hopefully we'll be able to do a release soon, that are supporting us in that that specific needs in navigations and dispatch and flight dispatch. And we have pretty large airplane company, let's put it this way, that I'm not allowed to say it yet, but they're really stepping forward and supporting us from really pure flight dispatch and navigations and communication. So
it's weather.
Weather, exactly. So
you mentioned one key critical ingredient, fuel.
Fuel.
Now, avgas is easy to get here in the United States, not so much in Europe.
Well, he told everybody to make sure their credit cards were paid down before they got there.
We actually addressed that to the only really difficult place to get gas. I mean, you can get it, but you have to plan, is in Greenland. Norshwag. And in fact, we have to pre-purchase the fuel by December 2018 because they have to boat it over, you know, tanker.
That's a lot
advance.
Of fuel.
And yeah, so we have to pre-purchase the fuel in advance only in Norshwag. And that's just for the flight out. For the flight back, it will be a little warmer. So they told us they can get fuel, you know, upon request. But the big, really big first commitment of this mission for all the crews will be purchasing that fuel in December 2018, and everyone is paying for its own fuel. So,
oh my,
we are actively raising money to cover all these expenses. You know, we are self-funded. The D-Day Squadron, it's the umbrella organization that it's under a Tunison Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. So anything can be donated, money or fuel or fuel tanks.
If you haven't have an engine laying in the garage.
That's right. Seriously, anything can really help. But we don't have anyone funding this. We are doing it ourselves. So any help really will matter.
Yeah, that's
back
amazing.
Back to your question. Yes, the fuel is really, really key. We are talking to different organizations to get some, you know, fuel discounts. Signature Flight Support, as right now, is providing a fuel discount to every FBO in America. So all our airplanes going to, from, and to events, they can stop at any FBO, Signature Flight Support FBO, and get a fuel discount. So
you know, you're talking about DC-3 C-47s. Now, obviously, we had a lot of air cover back then as well. Has anybody contacted you regarding taking, say, a P-51 or
yes.
P-47?
Yes, a lot of folks, actually, yeah, all the warbird owners that we kind of all know each other, they would like to come over, but this is not really a decision of the D-Day Squadron. Ducks over Normandy would like to only have C-47s and DC-3s, C-41s, just purely for logistic matters. You know, they're working with the local aviation authorities and space. It's not really as available as it is here on airport ramps and stuff. Granted, if you are a P-51 owner and you want to come over, nobody's going to stop you. But DAX over Normandy is inviting only C-47s and DC-3s. But to your question, yes. But I do get these questions. In fact, being here in Warbirds, you know, everyone came up to me and said, hey, can we bring our airplanes? Can I bring my airplane? And I say, you can, but, you know, you can't be part of DAX over Normandy. And that's not our call. It's just that's what they decided. Otherwise, it's going to be a little confusing.
Yeah, well, first off, you got all those different aircraft types and speeds and everything to coordinate.
But I'm pretty sure that somebody will fly on.
You know, it just wouldn't be right to have all those C-47s simulating the D-Day
and
invasion
no escort.
And no escort.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Well, as warbird enthusiasts know, England is pretty big country when it comes down to warbird movement. So between the Flying Legends and all the other shops, they have a lot of airplanes there. So I'm assuming that
there won't be any shortage.
We're gonna have escorts of Spitfires, perhaps, and Hurricanes, and maybe some P-51.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Are you guys gonna use an Airbus to coordinate the actual flight from Normandy side?
I don't know that. I'm pretty sure there will be an Airbus, but I think since it's going to be very much a flyover with a drop, it's not going to be an air show.
Right.
I don't think there is a need. Honestly, I don't know exactly how they're planning that because still things are still very much in development because the French government does this every year. Okay. So when DAX over Normandy approached them last year, for 2019, they told them, well, you guys are crazy. You're way ahead. We still have to do 2018. For them, it's a huge event, so they can't plan 2 years in advance. So realistically, the 2019 event, when it comes down to dealing with French government, French authorities, really started after June the 6th of this year.
Right, as soon as they were done.
Yeah, as soon as they were done. They're very supportive, don't get me wrong. Even the UK CAA authority as well. Everyone is very supportive, but you know, one thing at a time. Essentially, they told DAX over Normandy, let us go through this event, this year's event, and then we'll start planning next year. So, since it's going to be a massive flyover with a drop, I don't think there's going to need an Airbus because it's not an air show.
Right, and so, you're only going to make one pass, more or less.
Probably we'll do one pass with the jumpers, and then probably what I'm thinking would. What was discussed and ideas in the air, maybe just single formation flights of three and then single passes. You know, again, depends really what the French Civil Aviation Authority will let us do.
Right.
And it's going to be it's funny because it's going to be a very busy area. We are not the only ones doing this. The military, different other organizations, there's going to be the Women's Soccer World Cup the same week.
Oh boy.
And a pretty large sailboat competition event regatta, you know.
Wow.
So I mean, getting an hotel in that area, it's going to be very difficult, and flying over those areas, you know, throughout the coast of Normandy, it's going to be.
I hope they let everybody know.
And the president is going to be there, and as well as, you know, British Prime Minister, the French president, and all the other authorities. So
I hope they let everybody know in advance that this is going to happen, because I'd hate to be out on a sailboat and start freaking out when all these guys are dropping out of the sky.
It would be interesting.
Oh, my God, it's happening again.
You know, the other sort of anachronism that I spotted on this is you're taking, you know, 70-plus-year-old aircraft, and you're using modern-day navigation. I can't see a pilot flying a DC-3 C-47 and using an iPad for navigation. That,
well,
to me, just seems to be a contradiction.
Personally, for an Atlantic crossing, I can't see not using an iPad.
Oh, I would want it, definitely.
Safety first.
But
we do have a lot of pilots who are old-timers and with a lot of hours on the type. And that'll be the first one to tell you, hell yeah, I love using an iPad. You know, yep. I don't want to go back.
I just follow the little line on the screen.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to have a lot of support from different authorities, different organizations to support our navigation needs, and which is great. It's really
so. Not only are you going to have to move fuel, what about food? I imagine Greenland hasn't seen quite an invasion of aircraft in quite a while.
No, and we are planning for that. There is a large logistic company, and I'll leave it like that right now, that is we are talking to pre-position parts, pre-position everything we need. More importantly, you can't predict the weather in that part of the world, and you think you're going to go through Norshwak and stay. The plan is to go through. That's really the most crucial point, because Norshwak is not a big airport. They can't serve. I think they only have one fuel truck. Pretty sure they only have one fuel truck. They won't be able to bring a second one in. They're trying. So the point is that we can't have the entire fleet on the ground. So the plan is to go three airplanes at a time, refuel them, and then going to Iceland. So Greenland, Iceland leg will be a one-day leg, so two locations in one day, because we got to get those airplanes out as soon as possible.
And, great.
And you don't know how the weather is, so when you go to Norshwak, you might get stuck on the ground for 2 or 3 days. So
right.
We definitely need food and drinks, water, whatever we might need.
Okay, and now how do we find out more about this again?
Again, www.ddaysquadron.org.
All right, I want to thank you for joining us, Moreno. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.